you people. It is a Starship Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis. Off for another day. Broadcast insolence. All right. I'm still troubled by what Kim just told me.
Croc Obama.
Croc Obama. This was the idea for the name of the crocodile.
It's an alligator.
Or whatever, the alligator. Right. First of all, it's an alligator. It's an alligator. Good point. Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Oh, God.
All these people going, who's that Laura that works for you? She doesn't work for me, and her name's Lauren. Anyway, the point is that that is the worst idea ever.
I think they're having a naming contest, or somebody wants to have a naming contest.
I'm all for that, but why does it have to be political?
Well, that's coming from the governor, so, you know, he's
political.
Political.
Yeah. Yes, by definition. All right, first of all, I think it should be noted that Humboldt Park is named after famed German scientist Friedrich Wilhelm Heinrich Alexander von Humboldt.
Oh, of course.
Well, there's your perfect name right there.
Right, we got a lot of names to choose there. We got Freddy. We got Willie. Heine doesn't seem like the right one to name him, but
Wet Willie, I kind of like that.
Wet Willie. Or Alexander, Alex the Alligator.
Right.
There you go.
Right? I like that. Or Von.
Or Von, or like Irvon.
Von.
Von.
No, because it's Friedrich Wilhelm Heinrich Alexander von Humboldt.
Doesn't that sound like a prince?
It does. He lived to be 90 years old, I should point out.
Let's hope the same for this gator.
He was a Prussian polymath, geographer, naturalist, and explorer. Influential proponent of romantic philosophy and science.
Ooh.
What is romantic philosophy? Hey, how you doing?
Can we get some love letters again? We can do some dramatic readings. It was romantic philosophy.
I didn't know there were subtypes of philosophy.
Yes, of course. Sure, why not? Romantic is barely one of them. Who knew? And I'm assuming that means like from the Roman era. I'm going to assume that that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who knows? And the younger brother of a Prussian minister.
Wow.
Linguist Wilhelm von Humboldt, who did not live to be 90 years old. I always look at these guys that were born in the 1700s. I always look to see like 1767, and I figure that they were an old man who died in 1797 at the age of 30. But this guy actually, his brother would live to be 67. But these guys had some longevity to them,
especially back then.
Yeah,
that's impressive
for the times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The von Humboldts. Especially for an explorer too.
Do they have pictures? I love the old timey pictures. Everyone looks so angry.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no smiling. It's just, this is me.
I have a portrait of Alexander von Humboldt in 1843. And he is sitting there, and he does have a very stern look on his face.
Is he doing the whole, like, holding one side of a jacket thing?
Yes. He's holding one arm, which I don't know. You know, like, every one of these things has a meaning. It means, like, he died on his horse or some crap like that. He's holding his one arm, so I don't know if that means that he lost an arm.
He's, like, wounded in battle.
I don't know what it means. He's got paperwork in the other hand. You know, very rarely do you see paperwork. And that's why I'm not sure that I completely trust this painting, because the paperwork appears to be, like, printer paper that he's been handed.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know.
Weren't they like scrolls back then?
That's what I thought.
With a quill.
Yeah, right. What was he doing? He's sitting next to a globe from 1843.
He's mapping.
Hmm? Anyway, he's that's exactly what he's doing. By the way, he's buried, if you're just wondering, in Schloss Tegel.
Oh, okay.
I was going there next week.
Schloss Tegel, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, that is, I think the Hawks just drafted for him, didn't they?
He did. Strong round forward playmaking ability. Puts the puck on net.
All right. He went, and just in case you're wondering, to learn more about Friedrich von Humboldt, he went to Freiburg School of Mines.
School of Mines?
Yeah, I wonder how their football team is.
Quality program.
And then University of Frankfurt Oder.
Never heard of these establishments.
I know. How about that? And then he was known for his cosmetology or cosmology.
His makeup?
For studying space.
Right.
And science. And he won the Copley Medal, which I know that sounds dirtier than it probably is. All right. There he is. So we have to choose a name. We're going to name this stupid alligator.
Al the Alligator.
Yeah.
Hey, Al, how you doing? How's the water?
I like it better than Crock Obama.
Yeah, that just...
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. It just makes your teeth hurt when you hear that, right?
Crock Obama.
And then to think that J.B. Pritzker probably got a chuckle out of that.
He's like, I'm gonna make everyone laugh.
Right.
I got a great name, guys. And then everyone gives him the charity laugh. Good one, boss.
Ha, ha, ha.
You're really going to get some votes for this one.
Or we could just call him Jesse Smollett, and finally we'll lock one up.
Aww.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
But we like the alligator.
Yeah, that's true. All right. We'll find out from Ben Bradley what's going on here. And maybe he can help us with this. All I see are these pictures of Gator Bob. Alligator Bob, who's going around in circles out there waiting for this thing to bite something.
Ben's been all over this story. Every like 10 minutes I see him tweeting something out.
This is the best story of the year in Chicago, as far as I'm concerned. A lost alligator.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily hurting anybody. It's great.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Right. I mean, I would keep my 3-year-old away from the beach at Humboldt Park for the moment.
The Jaws situation.
But I would do that anyway. So this is not much of an issue. All right. Stand by. Nobody move. Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump with a big legal win today.
The Rokon Show. Gator Watch 2019.
Oh, God. Help us. Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV newsroom. And we thank you, Ben, for... Wait, hold on a second here, Ben. Yeah, we had another bit of trouble. Hold on. There's nothing I can... Yeah, I got you. Don't worry about.
The gator got your
Gator got tongue? My tongue. Yep, that's right. I'm finding out now that they're putting that video up. I was going to request that we not put the toilet video up.
You don't want it?
I don't think I do want the toilet video up.
Oh,
I don't know. I saw it. I was able to see it earlier this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And my thought is that it's probably not in my best interest.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yes. And we should all think about that before we post something online. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really something.
Speaking of online stars, how about Alligator Bob? He's trending in Chicago on Twitter.
We have great pictures of Alligator Bob from yesterday of him on his cell phone circling around in a circle in his canoe. You know, the one paddle where he just kind of sort of lazily go around in a circle because he's distracted because he's on the phone.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't see any urgency here in trying to find this alligator.
Well, Alligator Bob said he gave several press conferences today, and he said that they'll likely have more luck at night. So he's in this for the long haul. And if you
playing the long game with this alligator,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah. I'm just looking over a script that our Kelly Davis sent in. She's out there on Gator Watch right now, and she said that he's got a plan for this. You know, to amateurs like you and I, Ro, it may look like he's out there with only one paddle and a flip phone, trying to catch a 4 or 5 foot gator.
And a fairly small net.
A small net and a questionable canoe. I mean, if you're watching this on CLTV right now, I'm just worried at some point the Marine unit's going to have to go in and get Bob.
It does. Like, the canoe does look like it's taking on a lot of water. Yeah. I don't know if that's a visual, like a trick of the light there, or he really has just taken on a lot of water.
That's going to need a bigger boat situation.
Yeah, so reporters asked Bob what his plan was. You know, I don't know if he's got like a chicken off a line off the back of the canoe or what, but he said, and I'm quoting now from Alligator Bob, when he gets close enough, you take two hands and you grab it by the throat. That's pretty much it, and you just have to be faster than him.
Oh.
Standard gator procedure.
Wow. I'm going to tell you something. Alligator Bob doesn't look faster than a lot of things. So I'm not quite sure what to do with him. Hey, can we have some Alligator Bob? Let's listen.
People get scared of their animal and they just dump it. You know, they get bit once, next thing you know, it's like you get bit by the little guy, it barely drinks blood. When his teeth are a half inch long, they can draw some serious wounds. And that's when people start dumping them.
The homeowner could have fed him heavily before. He knew he was going to release them, and he fed him really heavy and put him out here. He may not eat for a week.
Okay.
I mean, because he's laying in the sun. He doesn't want to cooperate.
Well, there are those plastic swans in the Humboldt Park Lagoon.
Yes.
Which may look very appetizing.
Wait till Alligator Bob tries to capture one of those.
That would be the best if Bob was on the plastic swan with his net and one paddle.
What is that? Oh, my God.
You know, and we make fun, but yeah. Bob is serious, man. This guy is a member of the Chicago Herpetological Society.
I know. I'm sorry about that. Mm. It keeps recurring. Yeah.
Penicillin will solve that.
Doesn't, actually. Go ahead, Ed.
I mean, he's been at this for 40 years. I've been out on a number of stories over the years in Chicago where anytime there's an exotic animal sighting, that's who you call. And he's actually got a fondness for snakes as well.
Yeah.
We're told he's not super in love with the Alligator Bob nickname because, you know, this is a man who wants to be known by more than just one species.
Yeah, but doesn't he have an alligator? Isn't he the guy that takes the alligator around? Or am I confusing him with somebody else?
You may be confusing your herpetological celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Again, so sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So, wait, what moment do you think we're going to lose interest in this story if he doesn't catch this thing in the next couple of days?
You know, for this city, I hope he's on the loose for another day or two.
Yeah, I do too. I
do worry about the kids swimming in the lagoon over.
Well, let's close the beaches.
By a little channel.
You could have said that last week too, and it would have been appropriate
for a whole different set of reasons, though.
Yeah.
You know, somebody on Twitter said today, man, if there's a gator swimming in that little lagoon, imagine what's in Lake Michigan.
Right, sharks.
Yeah,
totally believe it now.
I mean, isn't there a better way than just Alligator Bob floating around the lagoon? Like, isn't there anything else to track this thing?
Hey, you know,
radar system.
Do you want some, like, again, like 30-year Chicago cop to shoot it with it, to trank it?
No, I mean tracking and finding
it. All right, I thought of this yesterday. You know that there is some
stand back.
There's sergeant.
There's a sergeant
who's responsible.
I'm authorized
for this scene, right?
Because there's so much short, stubby lit cigar
right.
hanging out of his mouth. This is when we need Jim Maurer. You remember Jim Maurer,
the
Chicago Police Department?
Yeah, the super chief.
He would have solved this in like a day.
Right.
He was the guy who,
when there'd be
a bunch of protesters on Michigan Avenue, you know, he'd walk down there and go, no. We're not going to do this today.
So, walking up there, all right. Listen, I was supposed to be on furlough, and Lori Lightfoot told me I couldn't take vacation. So I'm not going to sit here and put up with this crap right now. Everybody get out of the way.
Yeah.
Now we can go home.
Got it.
I did text a former high-ranking Chicago cop you and I both know, Ro, who has been gator hunting before, and I texted him.
Oh, I bet he has, yeah.
I'm like, we need you we need you down there bare-chested wrestling this thing. You will be the hero the city needs.
Yeah, Phil Klein? Phil Klein taking a shirt.
Terry Hillard was just going
right,
to try
hold
to
on.
Talk
I
to
got
it calmly.
This. I got this.
Well, as you know.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Where's Gary McCarthy when you need him? This would not have happened if Gary McCarthy had been our mayor.
And I want Gary McCarthy and his mustache down there. All right, everybody get out of the way.
Just like he did during NATO. Somebody throws a rock at him, he bobs his head and keeps on going.
He leans over and grabs the guy by the throat. He's going to go down there and get him by the throat. He's got it. I can't believe that. I can't go on furlough, and I got to stand here at the Humboldt Park Lagoon.
It's 96 degrees.
I mean, for Pete's sake.
Got this Bob guy floating around in a swan.
Look at this guy. Who's that guy? Get him off the water.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a permit?
I love this story.
kind of like a police sergeant and waiters, like kind of up to mid-thigh out there. All right. I mean, do I have to do everything myself around here?
Yeah. And Governor J.B. Pritzker just tweeted, the Humboldt Park Gator needs a name.
Yeah.
And Croc Obama has my vote.
Yeah.
All right. That's when the story has jumped the shark.
Yeah.
You can't name a gator after a croc name. That's, it doesn't work.
Or the president. First of all, we already did this, Ben, but let me just share this with you. We've already come up with this. The Humboldt Park is named after Friedrich Wilhelm Heinrich Alexander von Humboldt, who was a Prussian polymath, geographer, naturalist, and explorer, according to Wikipedia, who lived to be 90 years old. I just want to say that's, you know, God bless. Anyway, here is a guy that's got a lot of names.
Yeah.
Don't you think we should choose one of those, like Alex the Alligator or Freddy or Willie, Wet Willie the Alligator?
Yeah. I'm just saying, I used to work with a photographer years ago who lived in Humboldt Park, and he was really worried about the gentrification of Humboldt Park. He's like, it's turning into Humboldt Heights. Well, now they got a gate. I mean, now Starbucks is next, I guess. You got a gator?
Listen, what I like most about this is that, you know, we always talk about Florida stories. Things are really crazy in Florida. Was something that's crazy in Florida. This is a really normal story in Florida, and it's crazy here.
Yes.
Which just tells you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
I am all for this being a top story, because it just reminds us that something funny can happen in Chicago, too.
We need it.
Mm-hmm.
Alligator Bob for mayor.
Although Lori Lightfoot, since Lori Lightfoot is
4 feet tall,
right? So she like a fourth grader. I would be very careful about getting in, because they say, they look for things that they think they can eat.
Yeah. Well, Rom also would have been in danger in that scenario.
Right. Your Honor, you're gonna have to stand over there.
Stay back.
This is a dangerous situation, Your Honor. I got this handled. By the way, can I talk to you about that furlough? All right, thank you, Ben.
Yep.
All right.
Complete live team coverage at 4.
I'm sure there is. Let's talk to Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News, being brought to you by Arkadek. Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN and off for the rest of the week. Returning next week to this program. All right, we put her in the witness protection program.
I was going to say her liver got a break this week.
Yes, it did, because we did have a little bit of a party at my house last night.
Really, for the past 2 or 3 weeks. Yes. It's just been an ongoing.
Yes, that's true. But we decided we were going to do something because it was a first, like, perfect night to do a deck party. And that's haven't done a deck party. We like to do the deck parties because I got the deck. And we went, it was, all I know, and John Ofirovich, my dear friend from Apple Chevrolet, will attest to this. All I know is I woke up in all of my clothes, face down in my bed with all the lights on, the sun up and all the lights on in the room. And I'm not sure how I got there. And the last thing I know is that we shot a video about my toilet. That's the only thing I know. I don't know how people got in, got out. I have no idea. All I know is it was one of those kinds of nights, John. Have you ever experienced me in a night like that?
That's rare for you, bro.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Good afternoon. Hey, you're going to make that alligator story the number one story in Chicago. There's no doubt.
I hope so. Oh, I think it is. I think it should be. Isn't it nice to have a story that we can all get behind? We all want this alligator to get out of there, but B, get out of there safely. We get to meet him, get to, you know, send him to a zoo. You know, the idea, we're rooting for this young pup or
Absolutely.
Whatever you call him. Yeah. All right. Hey, let's talk about this weekend, because this is a big deal. The USO every year, USO of Illinois, does a really, 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 really great event. This has been, I think, what is this, the 12th year?
Seventh year. Consecutive year for Chicagoland dealers. Yeah.
Right. Seventh consecutive year. And this is the barbecue for the troops. And people can stop by automobile dealerships that are participating in this. And this started with just a handful of auto dealerships, and now it's grown to what?
There are probably 125 dealers that are doing it around Chicago, and they're really doing a great job. It was a local idea about a CATA, Chicago Auto Trade Association, and it just grew, and it's really, I tell you what, it's now statewide, and it's creeping into the whole country. You know, we have a day out there where we remember and honor our troops. You know, that's Veterans Day. And, you know, the local dealers decided to take it Saturday and to show our appreciation and to help out. So, and a lot of people out there, you know, they want to show their gratitude, but just don't know how. Boy, come out to the your local dealer and donate, have a hot dog or I was going to say a beer, but that's on your deck. But
yeah, well, not one. But come on.
But it's a great day, and we do a ton of goodwill for our local chapter of USO.
Right, and dealers all do different things. What I love about auto dealers is that they're not competitive with each other at all. I've noticed that they're all like, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do this. And there's been in the 7 years that the auto dealers have been doing this, because I was on the board of the USO of Illinois at the time when this whole thing started, and we didn't initially do it. We were trying to get people in their homes to do it and have, you know, like a barbecue and then invite people over and do a little fundraising and like that. And then there was a somebody on the board who was part of the Automobile Trade Association here and said, hey, why don't we just have the dealers do it? And then the thing took off. And it was it's been a gigantic hit. And I think there are other USO branches around the country, because USOs are regionalized to their service area. And USO of Illinois serves the Naval Station Great Lakes and Scottfield down in Belleville and all that. So there's so when you're going there, and the money and the awareness that you guys are raising is going to help the families of, like, kids going to summer camp who are stuck on bases with their parents, you know, like, and other kinds of no-do dinners and things like that. There's really a lot of really cool programming to take care of mostly the families and the kids of the troops, to give them alternate programming and stuff like that while their parents are being, you know, are working.
Absolutely. We had a girl that bought a car here about two years ago, and it goes back to the initiation when we started this, and she had tears in her eyes about how the USO helped her. Her father lost a limb and couldn't work, and they put her through college, and it was just a great story. So we honored her a couple of years ago when she bought the car, and she said, I would never be able to have this opportunity to buy something without the education I had. And, you know, it just, you know, stories go on and on. But
So I want to get back to the competitive thing here, though, because this is what has happened. Is that, and John, it turns out, is one of the, you know, more competitive of the dealers. There's a one-upmanship thing that happens. So this all started a decade ago, essentially, with hot dogs and hamburgers. You know, guys grilling out and saying, hey, what it's going to be. Then all of a sudden, there was a guy that wanted to do steaks and lobster thermidor. Then there was another guy who decided that he was going to put up, like, an entire carnival, essentially, on his lot. And what is amazing is that it's the one day of the year where car sales become really secondary on the car lot, right? And that's and everybody's got, like, a kind of a bigger, better thing. And it's become a beautiful thing. What are you guys doing at Apple?
It's a fun day. Our traditional dunk tank, we got obstacle courses. We do right at noon, we do a 21-gun salute. We have our local chapter of veterans out here, and we'll have our hot dogs, our brats, and, you know, we might even have a little cook-off here of some sort. So it's just a patriotic day.
Alfie, you're getting in the dunk tank?
If it's this hot, I'll live in it on Saturday.
That's right. He has been in it before. He actually tried to get me to go in it one year, and I'm like, you know, I got the thing.
Got to run.
I'm allergic to water, which he also knows that to be true. All right. 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park, if you want to stop by Apple Chevrolet on Saturday. And it starts, what, like 11 o'clock?
11 to 3. And Ro, just a little thank you for the encouragement. You get people out there, and you know, the extra dollars really help out. So thanks for your promotion on this, really appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much, General Fairbitch. Right. Time Magazine Dealer of the Year, by the way. I just want to point that. If I could just mention that for a second before he gets on the phone. He's going to run away from this now because he's embarrassed by this. But Time Magazine named John L. Fairbitch, this guy on this phone, the Time Magazine National Automobile Dealer of the Year. And that's for the entire nation. There's 16,000 dealers. And this is the guy right here. So, again, congratulations on that, Alfie.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Take care.
That's a big deal.
Man, a few words.
I love Alfie.
He's the best. He is the best. And he's got, and I got to just say one other thing about Alfie. He does do, for the barbecue for the troops, there's some dealerships that really, like, go crazy doing this. Like, they take pictures and send them to each other during the event to, like, get them all mad at each other.
And brag a little bit. Rub it in their face.
And Alfie also, but he learned his tricks by being one of the most legendary tailgaters at Soldier Field for the Bears. He and his family have been putting on this tailgate in the South lot.
He's one of the pros there.
Yeah.
Get the whole thing set up.
Oh,
everybody kind of flocks to it.
Oh, my God. You know, flatbed, because he's got pickup trucks at the dealership. You know, they make them into items that, you know, everything kind of disgorges from that. And then there's flags and he hands out sheet music. I swear to God. It's like everybody does a shot of Slivovitz, and the next thing you know, we're... whatever, however we pronounce that, Slivo, as he calls it. They have a song that they sing. They have a song about Slivovitz that they sing. It's apparent. I wouldn't know that there was a song, but there is. And he hands out the sheet music, and everybody has to sing along. They do a shot, and then he hands out the Bear Down, Chicago Bears, sheet music. So everybody has to sing along with that. And they have like a big boom box, and they got the music and the whole deal. But I'm telling you, when they do the Slivo thing, there's no, you know, there's no music to it. They're making the music. Mm-hmm. It's more like a chant. You know, and then you stop and you think to yourself, that's why there has been Europe wars for 1,000 years.
Angry chants.
Drunken angry chants.
I don't know what they're saying, but it doesn't sound good. Let's go fight them.
That's exactly
they
what
they sound angry. We must fight back.
I got it. And his family are the most amazing. His brothers and his cousins and stuff like that, and they're all there, and it's like, and you know, sisters and the sisters. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I mean everybody's in. Everybody's, you know, in.
Man, humble, generous, and a pro partier.
Oh.
Man.
Oh. There's some things, you know, coming off of, especially if it's an afternoon game, mm-hmm. like it's a 3 o'clock start.
Yeah.
Oh, look out.
Extended pre-gaming.
Yes, because the tailgating still starts at 11 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
right? And then people go for sunset after the game, and they're out in the parking lot until nighttime, and then all the trash cans are on fire.
Got to stay warm.
Here's Kim Gordon. What does she have in the WGN News at the top of the hour?
Row after calls for his resignation, Labor Secretary Alex Acosta talks to reporters today.
Yeah, it's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVontis. Yeah, 720 WGN Chicago. We're still on Gator Watch here.
On the edge of our seats.
So yeah. Many new Twitter accounts claiming to be the Humboldt Gator now. I mean, it was only a matter of time for that, right?
I kind of like Humboldt as a name. I mean, not Humboldt. For a human, but for an alligator, I think it's kind of a good name.
Humboldt Gator.
Once we get the little fella out of there, we mm-hmm. should have some sort of commemorative plaque. Something to remember. Alligator Watch 2019. What an alligator.
Just another excuse to throw a party.
One over.
Maybe we should go out there and have a party on Friday night. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in. Gator Watch.
Here's the worst part. You want to know the worst part of what this week has become? We have another event tomorrow night that we have to be at.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'm going straight to Northwestern.
I know, and I got a thing tonight that's not going to slow things down either. Sheesh!
You're successfully making every day of the week Friday.
That was the idea, and we're doing that again today. This week is that week. I'm sorry, it had to happen, but it had to happen at some point. This is the week after the 4th of July. A lot of people are still on vacation, right?
All-Star break 2 weeks week
off.
Too.
I mean, right.
Nothing going on later.
And so it's a good opportunity for people to get away. So what we're going to do is we have live music every day this week. Today, it's Irish Fest. Larkin and Moran Brothers. Moran Brothers.
Do you know them, Kevin?
Those are my people.
Oh, I remember the Larkins and the Morans. I came over with them on the ship, the Shillelagh, as it was pulling into Navy Pier. Straight out of Dublin. Even though that's not a seaport, but whatever. So we came in, and I got off the boat, and I went past the shrimp shack. And I thought to myself, what is a shrimp shack? It's like a shrimp, and a shrimp's got like doll's eyes, doesn't it? Black eyes rolling back up in its head right before you bite its head off. Anyway, the Larkin and Moran brothers were on the boat the whole time playing there. What is it that they played? Their ukulele? Wait, that's Hawaiian. They had a flute and a drum. Yeah, it was a can.
A can.
A can is a can and a spoon and a flute, which was actually two forks put together.
The flute?
Hard to get forks on board the shillelagh.
Anyway, they're going to be here. Coming up. Their music is actually, we've had these guys before. They're very, very good. So we're going to be doing that. And celebrating Irish Fest, which is Irish American Heritage Festival. I should have read the whole thing first, shouldn't I? Because I'm sure they really appreciate this plug. It's the 34th annual Irish American Heritage Festival, and it's going to be held this weekend up on the Northwest Side, 4626 North Knox Avenue, right off the Kennedy.
Kennedy was in that boat, too. running molasses. From Cuba.
What? All right. I got to go. I got to go. Bob Surratt's going to be here. Is Bob in the building? Not in the building. He will be in the building, though. That is our plan. Did Bob go to the tower? Is he standing out in front of the Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue right now? Didn't know that we moved? Bob Surratt is going to join us. He's got a big special coming up on Channel 11 he's going to tell everybody about. So it'll be good to have him back in the WGN studios. That's happening right after the news in 2 minutes. Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. You know, it's funny. I just said this. It's now the week after the 4th of July. And I said, what happens after the 4th of July? It immediately turns into back to school. And what was the commercial that Lauren just did during her traffic? Back to school. Now I got to worry about reams of paper.
Why do they have to do that? That was always the most depressing thing about being a kid. It was like, it's still July. Why are we even talking about school?
The thought of going back, yeah.
Well, even August. I mean, it was always the beginning of August back in my day, because, you know, the kids had to come off the farm before they were allowed to, you know, go back to work. They were working the reaper until the plow season stopped. And then we all went back to the schoolhouse. But now it's like, because they got almost year-round school. There are school districts that are going to go back in like 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
Brutal.
That's awful.
I know. Well, they get out, though, early, which is weird. They get out in April. And you're like, what are they doing in April?
Yeah, they should probably shift with our weather.
Yeah.
It's just cruel.
And we should just go back to a total farming economy. Send the kids back out on the plow and on the reaper and all the rest of the stuff. Have them do it. And, you know, always one kid in the fourth grade in the schoolhouse has only one hand. Hey, Bob Surratt, radio legend, has just stepped into the studio with us. Radio and television legend, I should say. WGN legend.
Nice to be back. I've been on a 5-year vacation from WGN, as you know. A lot of people didn't know I had that in my deal. So it's great to be here in a new studio and everything now.
Did you go to the did you go over to the Tribune Tower? Is that what you did? Did you immediately go there to come here and do this?
No.
That's what I kind of thought happened.
No, I didn't. I went over to do I look like I'm not up with the times? I went to 2501 West Bradley Place.
There you go. All right, now. Now, Bob, you, let's see, this is interesting. Surratt and Murciano with astronaut Jim Lovell. That's going to be running tomorrow night on Channel 11. Is that right?
Right.
At 10 o'clock?
As you know, because I know you were talking about it, PBS has been running this great ultimate history space geek series, Chasing the Moon. I think tonight is the last part
right.
of that.
Right.
And then tomorrow night at 10, we have this half-hour interview with Jim Lovell. That we actually did in booth one of the old pump room, which for a time was reincarnated. Now I'm not sure what's going on there. I think WGN is moving in there next. But what was interesting, and I don't know, I think we're getting Marianne on the line, and
yes,
she'll talk
right
about
there,
this a little
yes.
bit. Marianne can talk about how we've interviewed Jim Lovell before, but this was really different. Wasn't it there, Mrs. Surratt?
Hello there, guys. How you doing?
Talk about why the commander was so different this time.
Well, first of all, he was so different. You know, Bob, you and I have interviewed him so many times, and he's always so scientific, and he's like, you know, he's almost like a military guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, he's always had a good sense of humor. Right. I think on the old Fox thing in the morning show, we had him as a guest movie reviewer for Lost in Space. So it's not that he hasn't been a lot of fun to be with.
Because he was.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yes, as it turns out. He's only the only guy. He's one of the only guys ever to be lost in space that came back.
That's exactly
Tell us about
right.
it. But all right, go ahead.
But the thing is that there's something about him. I think it's a combination of things that it was the 50th anniversary, plus it was his 90th birthday. And I don't know, there was something like more spiritual or sentimental about him than I've ever heard before. And he was funny, and he was like, he was much more like spiritual, I guess is the way to describe it.
You know, he is considered to be not only just in the space program, but is, you know, you mentioned military. He was a military guy. He was a United States Navy captain, right? And one of the most important facilities for the health of military personnel is the James A. Lovell Center up in Waukegan.
He's very proud of that.
Yeah, and he should be. It's a VA hospital. It's an amazing facility. It was his leadership that got a lot of that stuff done, right? And especially
absolutely.
For this area.
But in spite of the fact that he's a great man, he flew in space four times, been married like I think 67 years now. I'm still mad at him, and Marianne can tell the story why I'm still irritated at Jim Lovell.
This has always bothered Bob, but then during this interview, he tells the story of exactly how it happened. But one of the times that he was in space, and I think that it was the time that he was going to the moon.
Apollo 8.
Is that, mm-hmm. Yeah, Apollo 8. So he, I guess he felt bad because he wasn't going to be home for Christmas. So he had a fur coat sent to his wife and, to be delivered. So, so that she wouldn't feel so bad about missing him and whatever other reason he had. And Bob, you've been always very upset about that because it sets a bad precedent for guys like you,
wait,
right?
Hold on. It does, first of all, Marianne. Don't be so dismissive of that. But this is, we have the clip here. Take a listen.
Before I went to the moon, I went to Neiman Marcus. And I knew the manager at the Houston thing, and I ordered a little mink jacket. She never had a mink coat before, a mink jacket.
Oh, listen to Marianne.
And I wrote on there to Marilyn Lovell from The Man on the Moon. Now, and they held it. And on Christmas Eve, as we were circling the moon, a limo came up to our house. And a guy with a chauffeur's outfit on, and he brought this package, and it had a little earth, and it had a moon on it, gave it to Marilyn, and she opened it up and said, to Marilyn Lovell from Jim, from Man on the Moon.
See, now, husbands so everywhere have no excuse for missing an occasion like Christmas.
Okay, but someone can get a gift from the moon? Come on.
The most impressive part of that story is that he knew to go to Neiman Marcus because, Bob, do you know where Neiman Marcus is located?
It's around the corner from Target somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? All right. Jim Lovell, you suck. And Marianne, you suck for bringing it up, too.
I didn't know you had him telling that story on the clip because, as you know, the press agents just throw us out here and they tell us to remember the name of the host is Rokan. And, we're not sure about the clips that are here, so I apologize for that. The one thing
thank
I
you, Bob, for remembering.
Bob will be freaking out about that for the next week. He'll be mad about that.
The one thing that is interesting in the show, and this we'll tease this one because he tells the story so beautifully. After Apollo 13, he wanted to go back again. He didn't get to go on the moon, so he wanted to go back.
Right.
And
we should go actually explain Apollo 11 was they were looking for landing sites.
That's eight.
I'm sorry. Apollo right. 8 is so he went up on Apollo 8 and they went around and they named Mount Marilyn. That's another
right.
thing he did, by the way. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about really being able to I don't know what he was running from in the Christmas of that year, but I can tell you this. He got her a fur coat at Neiman Marcus and he named a mountain on the moon after
yeah.
her.
What did he do?
So whatever he did
he was in the doghouse. Wow. Yeah, he did. Apollo 8 way, right, first time we went around the moon, and the most dangerous mission, and as Jim Lovell says on the show Thursday night, the mission he was most proud of, the mission that was the most dangerous, the mission that Charles Lindbergh was most impressed with. Lindbergh watched the launch from a sand dune in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was the mission Apollo 8, which kind of set the stage for what ultimately became the first moon landing. And Jim Lovell was on two Gemini missions and then Apollo 8 and, of course, famously Apollo 13. And it turns out, as he tells us, he loved Tom Hanks. He took Tom Hanks up in his private plane and did a, he said it was like a 15-minute trip from the airport to where they were going. But Lovell made it about 2 hours with spins and dives to get him ready for the part. But he wanted somebody else to play him first, which is interesting. He wanted Kevin Costner to play him.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he talks about that a little bit, too. That Apollo 13 movie is
What happens when Hanks finds that out?
Well, I
should send that clip to Hanks and let him know.
Hopefully he's not in town and won't see the show on Channel 11 Thursday night. But Lovell is he's an amazing guy for many, many reasons. And I think that in all the times we've interviewed him, I've always asked this question, and I still didn't get a good answer. And I don't get a good answer Thursday night on the show either. But I say to him, you know, because he lives up in Lake Forest, mm-hmm. I say, Jim, when you're on the expressway and you're stuck in traffic and it's horrendous, and maybe you're up there and driving home in the evening or something, and you can see the moon and you remember your missions and you're stuck in the damn traffic here, don't you want to just, you know, roll down the window and holler, hey, everybody, out of my way, I'm Jim freaking Lovell. And he never really responds to that question. I've asked him that question over the years, like 4 or 5 times, and he just says, man, I've never tried that, or I don't know if that'd get me anywhere.
I can just say this. As a guy who does that every night myself, it doesn't get me anywhere.
Oh, you've tried that.
Do
you say
night.
You're Jim Lovell?
No, that's even worse. Maybe, you know what, I'm going to try that. I'm Jim Lovell. Get the hell out of the way.
But
Kevin Costner should have played me.
There are a few surprises. Marianne asked him what his greatest accomplishment was, and it's a surprising answer. He doesn't say, although as far as space goes, it was Apollo 8, but he has some other thoughts about his greatest accomplishment.
Really? Apollo 13 wasn't? They got back alive?
No, he's proud of that, certainly. A successful failure, as they call it. But on 8, the Saturn rocket, that enormous ship that you need to blast off to the moon, I think was tested 2 or 3 times, and the test previous to the launch...
Yeah, it did not go well.
It vibrated so much, it almost fell apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, they moved up the mission on 8 because the Russians were rumored to be going to the moon.
Right, they want to get ahead of them.
So they move up the mission, it's dangerous, they have to train in a very short amount of time, and then they didn't know what would happen when they went around the moon. If the rockets failed, somebody said in NASA, somebody said, if this fails and you guys are stranded orbiting the moon, you will ruin the moon for the rest of us for the rest of time.
No pressure.
You won't be able to look at it.
Right. Nobody. That's a good point. That's a really, because if anybody had died on the moon, right?
That's
the Americans had died
exactly
on the moon. The moon, we'd have to, we'd literally, Trump would have made the moon illegal to look at. I mean, it's like, it is one of those things that when you think about the incredible high wire act of what they did do, it's, I'm glad he told that story about 8, because that's one of the little known, if you watch all those space geek documentaries, and it's, you know, they're all over the place now, but what this whole week on Channel 11 has been amazing. Because we talked to the producer, writer, director of this this 3-part series it's on.
Yeah, it's an amazing
It's so beautiful
program.
And so interesting. It's about Apollo 11. But because, you know, we're now on the 50th anniversary of that coming up in a couple of weeks, or next week, I guess. But this particular, actually in 2 weeks, or 10 days, right? That's the 20th, right?
That was the landing.
Yeah, it's the landing. Mm-hmm. So this... the moment of 8 was really important, because we did have to get up there, because that was the first orbiting of the moon, the first time we got close enough to go around it and use its own gravity to catapult us back and see if that whole thing worked. That was the first for a lot of things, and these guys were setting up. And you know, you can go to the Museum of Science and Industry and you can see the conditions that these guys were living in, whether it was the Mercury program or the Gemini program or, of course, the Apollo program. And it's, I mean... There are outhouses that are bigger, right, than what 3 guys are fitting into.
Absolutely. And, you know, Lovell was actually the backup to Neil Armstrong on 11. So if something would have happened, he would have been perhaps the first man on the moon. And Lovell was not supposed to fly on Apollo 13. Alan Shepard was scheduled for that, and he got an ear infection. So there are a lot of quirky twists.
Yeah, 13 had all kinds of weird things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, obviously. Yeah. the movie that Kevin Costner should have been in. Hey, Marianne, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hanging in there. Summer. We have a child home from college. So it's one of those.
Yeah. That's fun.
Can't get her off the payroll.
Yeah, that's fun. I always enjoyed that.
Yeah, right.
They're home. Isn't this great? And then they're coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, hey, wait a second. And then you're texting them at 2:30. Why aren't you home?
Like,
Dad!
It's like they're a different person altogether when they come back from college that first year. It's like it's no longer sad. It's like, okay, well, you know, this will be over soon. We'll go back to the regular life of her away at college.
Yes. Yeah, right, exactly. And then you can't ask a question at breakfast. So how was last night? You can't do that.
Right.
No, it's not allowed. Well, like, where'd you go? Did you have fun?
Right. How can you even monitor how late they stay out, because you don't even know what's going on in college?
But so, it's so much better when you don't. It's so much like when they're in your house, you become responsible for them again, and they don't seem to understand that. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, I got to ask because you're not home, and then I got to worry because when you're in college, I have no idea when you're home and you're not home or whatever. I, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And when I said out of sight, out of mind, she did not take that well.
Well, fortunately,
so what did you do about it?
Fortunately, my daughter has the ball gene, so I get to have a new tennis partner for the summer and a softball partner.
Oh, look at you.
So I'm happy.
Disneyland dad over here. Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Marianne's like, all right, now listen, you're going to have respect for this household. And you are going to clean up. I'm not doing your laundry.
No, no, no. She doesn't want me in the house because lately the only thing I do in the house is talk about outer space and Apollo missions and NASA. So she has to live with a space geek.
Yeah, and this guy. There's a bunch of other space programming, by the way. Tomorrow night, as we mentioned, Surratt Marciano with astronaut Jim Lovell. That's at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And then at 10:30, there's the POV shorts series Earthrise, which is images of Earth from space in 1968, which changed the world. Mm-hmm. When people actually got to see it, changed the way, and that is as big a, I think, a cultural influence as the music and the culture at that time, because it sent a message back to Earthlings that, you know, we're not as big a deal as we think we are.
Right. It's a small planet, and Bill Anders took that picture on Apollo 8 and Earthrise, the famous picture, and it many people say that started the ecology movement.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because all of a sudden we had to look at it and we went, wait. And because we're not that big and we're also not that tough, right? I mean, when you stop and you think about this little blue ball that we're on, it's not as protected as you think. And so it changed the perspective. It's the most important thing, I think, in a lot of ways that came out of the space program. It gave the perspective of humans on Earth that you know, there's a lot more going on out there.
Well, as you'll hear from Jim Lovell Thursday night, that scene of the Earth from Apollo 8 changed his life forever.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, watch this. Thursday night at 10 o'clock, you could say they got all kinds of programming over the next couple of weeks that are space-related. And if anybody's going to do it right, it's Channel 11. So that was it's very great.
I was just happy they let me back in the building.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's funny. Now we're going to get them over at Fox for a few minutes and see what goes on. Maybe get them at Channel 5. Let's see.
Yeah, just keep going back.
Yeah.
Stick around long enough.
Right. Call LS. We can work the whole thing out. Yeah, you and I will go back together. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good to see
you. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Marianne. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let's check in now and find out what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, a 24-hour psychiatric emergency center now open in Chicago.
Oh, I could use that.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best.
Don't forget, Surratt and Marciano with astronaut Jim Lovell, Thursday night, 10 o'clock, Channel 11. An interview with the astronaut who flew on Apollo 8 and 13. Played by Tom Hanks in that movie, although he's upset about it. All right, we've got the news with Kim Gordon coming your way in 2 minutes. All All right, we're talking about Chicago heroes in this hour. You know, every day is Friday this week on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sister Mary Jo is joining us, and now I think it's safe to say that Sister Mary Jo has the entire Chicago area, if not the entire Midwest, if not the nation, rooting for her to win the ESPY tonight for a greatest viral moment. She is a nun at Marian Catholic. And I was reading this story, Mary Jo, about your workout routine.
It started
when you were 10 or something, right? Didn't you? You started like running across some sort of field in Minnesota, and now it's like I got tired reading it.
Oh, come on.
See, that's what she'd say to one of her kids right now. One of the students. Oh, come on.
You are a full-blown...
As the youngest of 10, that was my mother. Come on, you kids. Let's go. Change your attitude. Come on.
Mm-hmm. You have gone full-blown celebrity here. Have you enjoyed all the attention you've gotten since last August when you threw that heater?
I'll be honest with you. I've just been taking everything in stride and really, really wanting to be open-handed to receive and also to give back. It's been a complete blessing. It really has. I couldn't have anticipated this at all. But, you know, the ceiling, there is no ceiling with God. So it's imaginable and even beyond. So it's been great.
When did you find out you were up for this award, which is the best viral moment at the ESPYs tonight?
June 19th, I received an email from ESPN notifying me of my nomination. Wow, that's how I found out, yeah. Uh-huh.
So the bicep bump, could we talk about that? Because you also did your pitch before leaving the school.
So cool.
Where did you get that flare? Yeah, when did that start?
And I can't tell you that either because I feel like I've just always been doing that since I was a kid. We played outside all the time. I grew up in central Minnesota, so in the wintertime we were throwing snowballs. In the summertime we were throwing acorns. We were it was all the time just kind of messing around in the alley playing basketball across the sand lot, playing baseball. We were just always kind of goofing around, and I picked it up somewhere. Although I do have a brother who wants to take credit for having taught me that, but I don't think that's true. I can't remember.
I see. Now, that I like that. Because one of two things is true about what she just did. Either she's mad at her brother still for something from a long time ago and refuses to give him credit, or it's like, I don't remember. I've been doing my whole life. I was 4 when I started doing this.
Right. Yeah. But either way, you went on to play in college, right?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Yeah. I wasn't going to go to school unless I could play sport. So when I found out that, I could go to junior college, I could play volleyball, basketball, and softball, and then I just continued to do that. And, you know, sports is just a great way to learn other skills and prepare for life, really. It's a character builder. And so it's always served me well, and it continues to serve me in my religious life and community life. And hopefully I'm passing some of those lessons on to the students I teach, too.
I just, that moment when, you know, we're radio, so we can't really, you know, play this for you so you can see it. But if you have not seen this moment, you've got to definitely check it out.
And Sister vote Mary for Jo. It.
Yeah,
and Sister Mary Jo.
I think
you can vote all the way up to the start of the show,
right,
which is 7 tonight. So get online and start voting.
Because it is,
it is
wild. Because not only do you kind of run up there in your habit, right, and you got the whole thing going, uh-huh, and then you bounce the baseball off your bicep, you catch it, my favorite part of this is you actually approach the mound. You like walk around the mound like you're one of those guys that's supposed to be eating innings, you know, late in the game. So that just takes some time. You kind of come up and you get on the rubber and then boom, you throw this perfect, not only a perfect strike, it had movement, which is the craziest thing. It was mm-hmm, actually crossing the plate, going down and away.
Had
to
some
a
life to it.
I'm like, who is this?
I'm gonna act. Everybody thinks I did that on purpose, so I'm just gonna act like I did.
Okay.
But I honestly just wanted to have enough arm strength to get it over the plate, and I did the bicep bump to give myself some momentum, and to take my mind off it. Because if you're aiming something, you're not, you know, the odds are you're not going to get it. I didn't want to overthink it, so that's why I had to take my mind off it. Just, you know, I played shortstop in center field, and so you get the ball, and then you just rifle it to your target. So that's what I did. I caught it, did the bicep bump, took my eye off the glove, and then turned around fired it over there.
Roe, Lauren, and I like to go to quite a bit of White Sox games throughout the season, and they have a radar gun down the left field line.
Okay.
I kind of embarrassed myself earlier in the season. I didn't put up a number I thought I was going to put up. How fast do you think you can throw? What kind of number are we looking at if we got a gun out there?
Now, I'm sure I can throw at least 50.
Wow.
At least.
Oh.
But when I was younger, I was in junior high, I was throwing like 78. I remember going to one of those guns at a fair, a county fair, and you could win one of those plastic baseball caps if you could say your number and then do it. And I think I said something like 76 or 78. And I did. That's you got to remember, I was playing ball all the time when I was a kid. So all we ever did.
Well, you got the good arm work, too. You know what I liked about it is, you know, her elbow passed first, and then, you know, she came across.
Great form.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. All right, well, now, this is, just so people understand, you can vote. You can go to ESPN.com, I would imagine. There's ESPYs voting, on the splash page there, on the opening page. Mm-hmm. But the question I had, because we were talking about you today on Windy City Live as well, are you... is this going to be on TV, this part?
No. Unfortunately, in the nomination that they sent to me, they say this part is not televised. So you know how, like, when you watch the Oscars and they say, earlier this evening, the awards or whatever we're giving out. So I'm not sure when these will be announced at all. I don't have any idea. So we'll just wait and see.
Well, you can tweet it out, though, I'd imagine, right? I mean, you can...
Yes, I think... You know, Dan will probably do something with that.
Okay, from Marian Catholic.
Notify somebody. You're right, from Marian Catholic.
She's got a minder from Marian Catholic.
She's got people now.
Is he the athletic director? Who is he, Dan?
No, he's the vice president of advancement. He's a rabid. He is a rabid White Sox fan. So he was determined to convert me because I'm originally from Minnesota. You know, so Bamba Soda is like playing some really good ball these days. And Polanco did well in the...
What are you doing?
Got a hit and had an RBI. I'm just saying. That's my
native. Don't troll.
But I love the White Sox now, though, too. He did convert me, so...
Sister, do not troll the White Sox.
Well, either way, as a big sports fan, what are you looking forward to most tonight?
You know, all of it. I'm just really open to all of it. Yesterday afternoon, we saw Jim Calhoun, who's going to be given the Best Coach Award. Rob Mendez, a young man who was born without arms and legs, is going to receive the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance. He's a junior high football coach here in California. And I've seen him. I haven't approached him yet to introduce myself. I would like to meet him. He's very inspiring. And just everybody, you know, just all of it, just to take it in and enjoy the moment, you know. Yeah.
Very,
well,
that's
really great, and you know you've given everybody it's been a really inspirational story because you're out telling your story and you're talking about important things that the kids should be thinking about as opposed to standing around in their house on their phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting around in their house. If they're standing around, that's actually a step in the right direction. They're sitting around, lying around and on their phone or you know, video. I actually have nothing against video games because video games do have there is some benefit, I think, in some cases to those. But there is not all, but in some. And this is just an opportunity for people to know, get out, like you said, you and your siblings, you get outside, go out and do something, go out and play baseball or go out and play football, basketball outside, whatever you can do, and it changes your outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well,
and I just really, if I can say one more thing,
sure.
I really, tonight there's a sacredness to sport as well. You know, I think some people think, this is so, this nun went out and threw this pitch and as if they're like so counter to one another. It's really not. I mean, there's a ritual in sport. There's a ritual in spirituality and it goes hand in hand. You can't be a good, strong athlete without being centered in body, mind, and spirit. And there takes a real strong sense of, you have to be in touch with your spirit to be mindful and focused and do all that. And so, there's a lot of people here who are going to really enjoy all of this, and you know, it's not one or the other, it's both, and so I'm really looking forward to just having some good conversation and meeting people and kind of breaking down those stereotypes too.
Yeah. All right. Well, sister, thanks for representing Chicago so well, and Marian Catholic and the Chicago Catholic League and all that, because that's, you know, for people who've left Chicago, and you know, especially people who grew up in the Catholic League, it's, mm-hmm. you know, that those rivalries and those schools and that you know, that experience, you know, means a lot to a lot of people. So mm-hmm. appreciate right. your work on behalf of all.
Thank
of
you.
Thank you.
Thank
Sister
you.
Mary Jo.
Thanks for having us on.
All right. Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Bye. Just hung up on the sister. No big deal.
She's got to win this.
I really hope she does.
All right, go vote. Can you? We'll look this up. We'll get you the exact place to vote here in a second. There's a couple different. I know we should be putting it up to WGN
Radio. There's definitely a link that we can post.
Yes, send that out. All right, let's find out right now from Kim, who's our own student athlete, what's happening at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
A major reversal today in the way cases involving former Chicago. Let me just start that over. A major reversal today in the way cases involving former Chicago Police Commander John Burge are handled in Cook County.
The Rokon Show, Gator Watch 2019.
Still haven't found him yet.
Chance the Snapper. A lot of people going with that.
Oh, I like that.
Chance the Snapper.
Chance the Snapper. Now there's a now that's a name.
That works on a lot of levels.
Yeah. All right. Chance the Snapper. Finally, something I can get behind.
Better than what was the Obama one that Pritzker threw up?
Croc Obama.
Yeah, Croc Obama.
I've got another one coming up for you in the news.
We just had the sister on. Sister Mary Jo is up for an ESPY tonight, which is the best viral moment. It will not be on the television, but if you want to go to ESPN.com, right? Or you can just vote ESPYs. You can Google that.
ESPN.com/ESPYs.
Right. And you can vote now and forever hold your peace. There are a couple of interesting things tonight in the ESPYs that I think are that kind of fascinating. Best male athlete.
What do we got?
You got the Greek Freak, Mookie Betts, Brooks Koepka.
Ooh.
The golfer.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes.
Hmm.
Ooh. I think it's going to be Mahomes or Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
The Greek Freak.
I think it's...
Milwaukee Bucks star.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Mahomes. And I think it is going to be. Best breakthrough athlete, Saquon Barkley. Naomi Osaka, the Australian Open champ who beat Serena Williams. Kristen Yelich and Trae Young.
I think you got to go Barkley there.
I think football players again?
He was.
Yeah,
a,
it's always going to be
was
football.
He was a tank last year.
Yep. And let's see here. Now, what I find interesting is they also have best record-breaking performance. So you got the kid in the 100-meter dash, right, who broke the record, Matthew Bowling. You got Drew Brees passing Peyton Manning 71,940 yards. The Oregon basketball player recorded her 13th triple-double. I don't think she's going to win.
I don't think so.
Klay Thompson broke the NBA three-point record.
I think Brees again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like...
Brees is just such a likable guy. ESPN would love to put him up there. Everybody loves Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's really true.
Boiler up.
There you go.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we knew it. All right, let's get to, we got to get to a top five at five right here. I'm fascinated by this, but do go vote for Sister Mary Jo at ESPN.com/ESPYs. Let's get Chicago a big win. Something to talk about other than the alligator. But if we're just talking about the alligator and her, I'm good with all of it. The Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. All right, now I have top five I have to get to. They've just handed to me. I've not had a chance to peruse it. I'm going to let you know if it's up to my standards before we actually play it. It's up to my standards. All right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
South Shore business owners had an event today to ask the city to do more to protect their businesses, because there are a lot of bad people standing in front of the businesses on streets in the South Shore that are keeping customers from coming in the stores, doing the things, stores and restaurants and all the other stuff, because there's gangbangers slinging drugs. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what the kids say?
Slinging, yeah.
Slinging drugs. Yeah. In front of these businesses, and these people are like, how are we supposed to make a living?
The real problem is the drug trade and gangs.
People be afraid to come in here. You know, they might be out there doing criminal activity, and then people, they shooting everybody. They not going to discriminate. They just going to shoot everybody that's outside. All these shootings and killings we had around here is senseless.
People come by and do whatever they want here. They're forcing customers not to even want to come by and patronize our businesses because the police in our community.
Well, I don't know if I'd blame the police completely on this, but it does require the community. It also requires people in the community to, pardon the expression, narc. Can we still say narc?
See something, say something.
Yeah. It's important to with the narking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other way to, you can't put anybody behind bars. And then you got Kim Fox, who doesn't want to put anybody behind bars in the first place. Oh, my God. What is that?
I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to go into a store where I don't feel safe walking into it either.
Right. I get it. I understand what's going on here. But it's a tough situation. Yeah. And it's a cycle that is now creating more and more trouble. So, all right. Well, we'll see what, hopefully, Mayor Lightfoot will have new eyes on the situation when she's done with the alligator. Checking in at
number four.
Speaking thereof.
Speaking of the gator.
You haven't found him yet. He's still at the bottom or someplace in between the Humboldt Park Lagoon. You know what would really be sad?
It's a slick, sly sucker.
If this thing just went belly up.
No! That would be the worst ending.
You know, there are gator bites, I just confirmed, at Taste of Chicago, which I'm sure is going to be one of the more popular stands, considering that Gator Watch 2K19 is going down this week.
Sad, I think. Sad. Don't you think? Because we're all rooting for this gator. We're not trying to eat it.
But it's just sort of a theme. You're not really thinking of eating it. You're just like, cool, gator bites. We've got a gator in the lagoon. Let's go to the gator house.
Anybody? Gatorade, anybody?
Gatorade? Wash it down with an ice cold Gatorade.
Actually, if Gatorade was smart, you know, once a Chicago-based company, if it was smart, they'd sponsor this search right now.
Alligator Bob should have his own spot. He should make a NASCAR. You know, all the logos on the side of his canoe.
We could get him a better canoe if we could get Gatorade to pay for it.
Right.
Oh, I can see the commercials now.
Yeah, all that hard work and determination on the lagoon. Probably sweating in this heat.
Right, it's 90 degrees out there.
It's brutal today.
Yeah. Gator's loving it. Gator's like, hey, this is just like my home.
Right.
Where am I again? He's one of the 52 million tourists that's come to Chicago, this gator.
Come see the gator!
I think I took a right when I was supposed to take a left. Uh-oh.
I also like the fact that he's going to the park system. I like the fact that, you know, tourists should go see Humboldt Park. It is absolutely historic. It's over 100 years old. It's lovely. Okay, what did we decide we're naming him?
Chance the Snapper?
Chance the Snapper. Wait, Kim, what did you say? Is his name supposed to be Bob or something? What is it supposed to be?
Well, somebody suggested Cloud Gator, but that he just wanted to be called Bean.
Huh. Because
Cloud
Gator. I like Cloud Gator.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah. Bean, I don't think is really all that. I don't think Bean works.
Yeah, nobody would understand that one.
Chance the Snapper. I like Chance the Snapper. So far, the winner. A lot better than Croc Obama, which is the worst name ever.
Just bad. There's a lot of ways you can go with that. That's bad.
All right. Anyway, Bob, the alligator hunter, Alligator Bob, was out there, and he is with the Chicago Herpetological Society.
He's our gator guy.
Yeah. And he's been setting humane traps, or as we called them yesterday, human traps, for the four-foot gator. And, you know, this gator, not exactly easy to find.
People get scared of their animal and they just dump it. You know, they get bit once, next thing you know, it's like, you get bit by the little guy, it barely drinks blood. When his teeth are a half inch long, they can draw some serious wounds. And that's when people start dumping them.
The homeowner could have fed him heavily before. He knew he was going to release him, and he fed him really heavy and put him out here. He may not eat for a week. I mean, because he's laying in the sun. He doesn't want to cooperate.
I didn't know they could go that long without eating.
Classic chance of snapper being stubborn.
I don't know.
How hard could it be to find a gator in a lagoon here in Chicago?
Well, they clearly keep seeing him. Everyone keeps seeing him pop up, but it's a matter of getting to him.
Let me ask you something.
Underwater radar or something?
Let me ask you something. This is what they're going to do. They're going to send the Chicago Fire Department dive team after it.
Oh, God.
Because there you got another situation.
I mean, I guess you're right. This is probably the best angle to go with it.
Yeah. Just wait your turn.
Send the gator guy out there. Yeah. Let him do his thing.
They'll figure it out. Just keep the kids out of the water.
Right.
Kids shouldn't be in that water anyway.
Close the beaches.
Right. And you just get in there and you kind of do your thing, and then eventually this thing will pop. Because then again, like we said earlier, you know, I'm telling you, there's going to be a police commander who's just going to be sick and tired of this thing.
Everybody get out of my way.
Right. I got to handle it. Why do I have to handle everything in this neighborhood?
Bring in the sharpshooter.
Just fishing pole. Come on! My buddy's got a boat.
Come on, you little punk.
My brother-in-law's got a boat. Mike! Mike, give me Timmy's boat. Get it over here. I'll get in there. Get out! Hey! Hey, you! Alligator Bob! Get out of the lake! Get out of water! It's going to go in there with a big power boat. I'm telling you, this thing could go out a mile in about 40 seconds.
Tommy, let's go. Grab the roast out of the fridge, put it on a hook, and put it on the end of a pole. Get this son of a gun.
We got to get it out of here. These people are ruining my entire weekend. All right.
There's really a simple reason why this gator's not coming out. I just found out they're serving alligator sausage at the Taste of Chicago.
That's right. We just mentioned it.
Right,
listen to the show. Well, did we break you last night? Is that what happened?
He's running slow.
I really think you did.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights are not good for me to go out.
Still recovering.
It is it's always the first person in on the show that, you know, like, so the last one in that goes out and does this, you know, the Rokon show experience. And then they're like dead for 2 days. Did you go home to your husband and go, oh my God,
he was dead asleep, he didn't even know I came home. He wasn't worried a bit.
Yes, well, he should be worried if he's hearing this today.
I'm
oh God,
you. Oh
yeah,
my goodness.
he should show up here and take you immediately to an emergency room.
Well, there's a 24-hour one now for, you know, psychiatric patients.
That would be very good. All right, we'll get to your 3 and your 2 and your 1. But first, let's check in. Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the
hour? Let's see if I can do it. Some Gulf Coast states could be the first to see a hurricane this year.
Illinois DCFS under attack. What's gone wrong? What's being done to put things right? Protecting children, examining DCFS this week on WGN TV News at 9.
Irish Fest is going to be here in the 6 o'clock hour. Live music Friday, even though it's a Wednesday, because every day this week on the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis is a Friday.
Rostock.
Sick. That's how we're doing it. Thank God this alligator's on the loose, because that's, you know, keeping us from having to talk about anything else. Checking in at
number 3.
Oh, The Lion King has debuted. The live-action version.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Roper will be here to review it tomorrow. Donald Glover on the red carpet talking about his work in this. He's the voice of Simba. And the recording of one of the classic songs from the original with Beyonce.
It was very emotional. Like, I felt really close to that song. Like, you know, and you try and do it the way you feel it felt to you when you were a child. So I think, like, hopefully we did that.
I didn't really like it. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
I'm not a fan either.
Right.
It should have just been Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You can't compete with Beyonce.
Yeah,
you know?
She definitely overpowers the song.
Right.
But it's also just hard to compete with Elton John. he's not wrong in the sense that that song sparks something in someone who was a kid in the 90s. It just does. So you got to be careful when you take on a song like that.
Brings me back to my childhood.
Hard to mess with a classic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just kick it in.
Now, because they had to do something to make it different, but they didn't, but it just, you know, I mean, you had to do something. So here's what Beyonce's done. She's released another song that's been inspired by the film, and it is called Spirit. Rise up to the light in the sky. Watch the light lift your heart up. Burn your flame through the night. Whoa. All right, now, if I'm...
inspire is a good way to put it.
If I'm Elton John, I'm like, hey, mm-hmm. Hey, they just made a movie about me. I'm suing you. Doesn't that sound just... That's kind of like right out of... What is the name of that song from Lion King? The Field of Love Tonight?
The intro song, and then Can You Feel the Love Tonight is
right. Does that sound a little like Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Well, they already
it's a little
did
bit
Can
of both kind of combined.
I kind of feel the Circle of Life theme that Kevin was mentioning. Yeah,
yeah, it starts to go there and then it drops
play
off.
That again. Play that. You know what? I'm gonna get some lawyers on this.
Take it down, Beyonce.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this. Hello, Mr. Z. Can I speak to your wife, please?
Is there a Z?
You're right. Circle of Life.
Right there.
It's Circle of Life.
Right
there. It's still Circle of Life. Hey! Hey!
It's going to ruin my childhood.
I think it's going to be great, though. But we're going to have some lawyers take a look at it. We might have to keep this out of theaters for 6 to 8 months now.
Aw, come on.
Let's sort a few things out.
I'm excited to see it. It does look like probably the best one yet in terms of live action.
Jungle Book was great.
It was. It was phenomenal.
And isn't this also Jon Favreau doing this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's when you see Jungle Book, you're like, I can't believe what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Circle of Life. Yeah, same. All right. Get Monaco on the phone. We broke him last night, too. He was at the party.
He's like, I'm getting out of here.
He left before me. No wonder I'm dead.
Yeah. You, like 2 hours before you. There was a moment where he stood up and got, all right, that's it.
Walk me to the gate.
I can't be here anymore.
And I went down. He's like, get me the hell out of here.
Number two.
Sister Mary Jo from Marian Catholic, right? Known for her epic pitch at the White Sox game last year. Sports fans love the moment. She's up for an ESPY tonight, and she had a chance to speak with us about what that means to her.
I'll be honest with you. I've just been taking everything in stride and really, really wanting to be open-handed to receive and also to give back. It's been a complete blessing. It really has. I couldn't have anticipated this at all. But, you know, the ceiling, there is no ceiling with God. So it's imaginable and even beyond. So it's been great.
There you go.
I really hope she wins. She may have had the best pitch at Guaranteed Rate Field last year, to be honest.
Hey.
It was a killer pitch.
You just made fun of Giolito.
I'm not dissing them. I'm saying she's that good.
It's 100 loss season. She's got a point. It was pretty rough last year. Now it's fun.
Get Monaco on the phone. Get Monaco on the phone. Make sure you're still alive. All right. And finally.
Number one.
Rip Torn. The prolific actor, best known in his later career for The Larry Sanders Show, Dodgeball, Men in Black, has died. Born Elmore Rule Torn Jr. in Temple, Texas in 1931, he had a career spanning more than six decades. Established himself as a versatile actor and performer, appearing in 10 Broadway plays, directing one, more than 80 feature films, and dozens of television shows, including, of course, Larry Sanders.
Stevie?
Hey!
Hey, how are the contract negotiations going?
Great, really great. Look, the ball's in their court.
In other words, you haven't heard from them.
Hey, Artie, I didn't know you were there.
I'm his interpreter. I speak fluent bullshit.
Look, I'm seeing Bingham this afternoon, and don't worry, I'm going to ream him and get out of the way, you stupid... And look, I'm going pulling into the canyon here now. You're starting to break up on me. I'll see you after the network meeting.
What canyon comes off Melrose?
Bullshit canyon, that's what.
I did love his character in Dodgeball.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, because he did play Patches O'Houlihan, a Dodgeball legend, who delivers maybe the film's funniest moment.
You've got to learn the 5 D's of Dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. If you master the 5 D's, no amount of balls on earth can hit you.
Yeah, shouldn't we, like... learn by dodging balls that are thrown at us, or...
That's what this sack of wrenches is for. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
Rip Torn was 88.
The top five at five.
Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis, 720 WGN Chicago. All right, now, coming up, another reason to have a drink. I don't know if we should be doing that on the show, but it's happening. We've got in the 6 o'clock hour, because we're doing live music every day this week. Every day this week.
I'm pretty sure I've forgotten what day it is already.
It's Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
This is the third Friday of the week, is the way I'm looking at it.
Yes.
Every day has been a Friday. Monday was a Friday. Tuesday was a Friday. Wednesday is a Friday. Thursday is a Friday. Friday is a Friday.
Canarble wagon putting in overtime this week.
It is, and it's getting drained. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Yeah.
I just want to point one thing out. Now, Kim has been a little slow today.
A little?
Yeah, because this is... I know Kim,
majorly sluggish.
Kim has been to a number of events with us over the last couple of years, right? Because you are the chief correspondent for the show.
Exactly.
Under Judy Pilak as chief medical anchor, or whatever she is. And was. And so but you'd never been to one of my house parties.
No. That was the first.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan is the only guy who holds wilder house parties than I do. And they said this in the summer. It's a deck party, so we were taking deck pics. Are those up now?
Yeah, they are. WGNRadio.com.
Okay. Oh God.
Yes, the picture that Kevin was talking about of you earlier really is. It says everything. The smile on your face says everything. It's great.
Oh boy.
I highly suggest.
Will it be? I just have a question. Will it be used against me in a court of law?
No.
Okay. Unless you stole that toilet, but I don't think you did. Did you?
No.
Okay.
Okay, again, if you're just, you're maybe a new adopter to the show and you're like, what the hell did she just say? Marge, did she just say steal a toilet? Yeah. Well, I got a high-tech toilet that was just recently given to me, as a matter of fact, by my family, because they know, my needs. And they were like, hey, my son-in-law and daughter were like, you got to get one of these. And they sent one over with a plumber and an electrician, because you apparently have to have that to have the
toilet.
And then somehow, at the end of the night last night, Kim had already left. But
toilet tour.
Yes. Jeff and Brian are fearless and never ending working producers. And you went up into my bathroom and shot a video of the toilet.
Not just of the toilet.
But of me trying to explain the toilet. And the toilet wasn't acting as it was predicted to be acting.
It was pretty shy.
You walk in and you're supposed to, when you walk toward the toilet, the seat raises and it says something to you. And I guess there's a whole thing that goes on. And it wasn't doing it.
Because I saw four people and I was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Right, I think that was it.
I can't handle that.
I'm not built for this.
It's like when you're a kid and you jump in the water, you keep your mouth really tightly closed. That's exactly what it was like here.
Classic toilet, getting shy.
Yeah, shy toilet.
Tight-lipped toilet.
Which is funny, because generally, you know, guys are, like, shy around the toilets, but now this is, like,
it was the exact opposite.
Yeah. Anyway, so we shot the video. Did they put the video up? Because I saw the video earlier today, and I was not 110% sure I wanted that video up and moving.
But I believe there's bits and pieces.
It's up there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Photos and the video of the toilet tour.
Well, we do have, we like to have fun on the show. Mm-hmm. We'd like you to join us in the fun. We'd like to thank all of our fine sponsors who just put up with us to have the fun. That's if you want to be associated with, debauchery, you are in the right place. Like I said, me and Tracy Morgan, we're the last two alive that are able to get away with this. I don't know why. Anyway, the Irish are going to be here. They're invading the studio. The president of the Irish Fest that's coming up this weekend at the American Heritage Festival, Irish American Heritage Festival, the Irish American Museum here in Chicago. Yeah. And that's at 4600 North Knox. And you can, and the Larkin and Moran brothers are here to play. And I see them practicing in Studio G right now. A lot of string instruments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? That's what the Irish are known for.
Oh, I like that. He's got a shirt that says Irish, but has like the AC/DC lightning bolt down the middle.
In place of the second eye?
Good shirt.
It's a good look. That's the same shirt my great-great-grandfather was wearing when he came.
Liam. Liam Powell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he landed at Navy Pier.
That is correct. I remember leaving the port of Dublin. Next thing I know, I'm at Navy Pier. The boat half sunk, wearing an AC/DC shirt, and I don't even know what that is. Because I did this in 1875. Even though the Navy Pier wasn't there at the time, which was one of the problems that we had getting off the pier. But we came in, and we changed the way that Chicago looked and felt, drinking our beer, eating our potato, because they had potatoes here.
Just one, though.
Well, we were coming from the famine, so we didn't have them there. We were eating dirt, and then we came here to eat the potatoes. One day, hope that my great-great-grandson would grow up to be a radio announcer of sports, even though I didn't even know at the time what a radio was, or sports for that matter. Because where I came from, the only sport that we had was we had a shillelagh and a rock. And we'd hit the rock with the shillelagh, and we called it golf.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the Larkin and Moran brothers to really get a piece of this. All right. Do we have... This is an interesting set of stories that I need to share with you here. First of all, is the Gator okay? We know anything about the Gator? I didn't want to get ahead of myself because I know we're still on Gator watch. Gator's still in the water.
Still the same on the Gator.
All right, they haven't found him yet. Does Gator Bob had sunstroke yet? Sitting out there, gonna need a bigger hat. Is what actually Gator Bob is gonna need.
Ooh, I'm seeing some new names: Frank Lloyd Bite and Ruth Gator Ginsburg.
Frank Lloyd Bite's pretty good. Chance the Snapper's still the front runner.
Yeah. The Gator's going to be wearing a number 3 hat.
I am a big fan of this Gator because he's allowed us on this week that I decided not to do any hard news to, you know, to get away with it.
Rostock 2K19.
Ro put that Gator in the water.
I'm going to plant a story. Get me an alligator.
So, all right. The reusable bag. Mm. Is in the news.
Okay. Like a tote bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a grocery store?
Right.
You know, they give you the bag.
The things to keep you from using plastic bags.
Right. Exactly. Because you don't want a plastic bag to end up with the snout of a dolphin or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
The spout. What do they call it? What's the thing? Blowhole. You definitely don't want a plastic bag in your blowhole.
No.
It's the worst.
That's bad.
And then you see that. Then there's a picture, right? Like, have you seen the one with, like, the turtle with the two straws up its, like, in its nose hole?
Oh, it's so sad.
I know. It's the worst. It's the worst. But the worst is, like a tennis ball in a blowhole. I get it. I don't want pollution. I'm for it. I'm for not having pollution.
Like the six-pack plastic straps that go around the necks of a
Well, and they've been dissecting whales, and there's like 15 tons of garbage, and it's a bunch of plastic bags.
You know what? Whales eat too much. That's the problem.
A lot of them eat, what is it, grill or whatever they're little called? They're these little things.
Grill.
Yeah. So, eat too much.
Well, that's the problem is that's exactly what the Interior Secretary said. Oh, whales eat too much. What the hell? Plus, it's good. It lets the plastic go somewhere.
Tell them to rub some dirt on it.
So anyway, so a Canadian grocery store, it ditched single-use plastics, and they went with the reusable shopping bags. This is in Vancouver. One shopper who didn't bring their own bag left with groceries in plastic bags that read, Wart Ointment Wholesale.
Did they bring those from home?
Or into the Weird Adult Video Emporium or the Colon Care Co-op.
So they're like shaming them.
Yes. The store owner, David Quinn, the bags evolved out of wine to bring more awareness. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some awareness because we're, because we don't want the dolphins to have a tennis ball in their blowhole. So he printed up these eyebrow-raising slogans, right? Turns out, didn't work.
What?
Yeah, was a problem. People started wanting these bags.
Oh, my God.
Classic backfire situation.
Yep.
I am proudly using this bag that says that I shopped at an adult movie store.
Wart Ointment Wholesale. They decided to capitalize on the excitement by giving his idea to an eco-friendly spin. So they're going to actually put him on the canvas tote bags now.
What?
He's like sold out of the plastic ones. It's really a problem.
I would have never thought there would be a market for such a thing.
Right. So now there's some whale that, you know, just swallowing
a bag that says into the Weird Adult Video Emporium.
Right. Exactly.
Dolphins eating weird bags now.
Right. And the whale's like, hey, what was, oh, come on. Really, guys, it's bad enough. I got to eat one that says Kmart. There's some Kmart left.
Colon Care Co-op. Where has this bag been?
I get it. I get that there are problems, but the problem for me is I don't like the groceries in that like tote bag thing.
Yeah.
Cause the tote bag, it reminds me of like when I was a kid and my parents subscribed to Channel 11 and they got the tote bag from Channel 11 and no one knew what to do with it. And then they gave it to me to go to school with it and it looked like a purse.
That was your backpack?
Yeah, instead of my backpack.
Oh.
And I was like, what am I going to do? And
then, hey, Ro, nice bag.
Right, exactly.
Nice tote bag, Ro.
So I'm walking into the school and I've got like my tote bag and they're like, you know, and everybody else had a knapsack, right? And I had like a real, you know, and then sort of at the end of my run in the schooling kind of world, that's when, you know, Columbia and all the rest of the companies were doing those cool backpacks, right?
The ones that actually go on your back?
Yeah. Because when I was a kid, we literally had knapsacks like from the Army.
Like knapsack, like a side bag type
thing? No, a knapsack was actually a full, green.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was Army green, but it had the worst straps ever. It had like thin straps.
Ow.
And then if you had to put, like, at the end of the school year, I had to put all your books in it.
So you just lug the thing around like a soldier over your shoulder?
And it was, you know, I still have the marks on my shoulder from it. It was bad. And then my parents were like, well, you need an extra bag because that's going to be bad for your back. So here, honey, here's the Channel 11 tote bag. And I'm literally walking around this, and I swear to God, I mean, I got pantsed.
Yeah.
It was bad. A lot of bad things happened.
I can picture it.
Yeah.
You got your makeup in that purse?
I'll trip on your skirt, Ro, with that bag.
It's very. And now, when I go to the store.
Here comes the tote bag guy.
Well, so when I go to the store, you're like the Whole Foods, and they're trying to always sell you the thing, you know, the Whole Foods tote bag. I'm like, I'm not going to have that.
Getting a little PTSD there.
Yeah. I'll do paper.
You're having flashbacks as they hand it to you?
Yeah. No. Paper's fine.
I don't want it.
I don't want the paper.
Tote bags are, it's like the number one, koozies and tote bags. That's the two top giveaways at any event you go to. I have like 30 tote bags, and you don't know what to do with them. They're all stacked on top of like my fridge in my garage. It's like, I don't know. You forget about them.
And what scares me, because I live in a neighborhood downtown where there's like no older couples walking around. And there's always a guy who's, you know, appears to be in his 80s, not even in his early 80s, his late 80s, and he's with his wife, and they're walking through, and he's got the tote bag around his arm, and they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're carrying whatever it is, the one piece of mail that they have to mail, but they can't hold it in their hand, so they put it in the tote bag
to secure it.
Yeah, afraid it's going to blow away. They had a 1 hour conversation about that, about where's the tote bag and how to get the envelope into the tote bag before they went on the street. And then I stopped and I see that on the street and I think to myself, at what age did he decide he was going to start wearing the tote bag?
He's a tote bag guy?
Right.
People that bring tote bags to grocery stores love showing off that they brought the tote bag. Hey, here's my tote bag. You can put the groceries in here. It's my tote bag. Just
this
saving
the
environment. This guy's got
this
a plastic bag over here. He hates the environment. I've got a tote bag from Channel 11, everybody.
I just don't. I don't think it's sanitary.
They say it's not.
Because the tote bag is going to get stuff. Yeah, like, especially if you buy meat. I know that the tote bag crowd doesn't necessarily buy meat. They just put. They actually go
to
Whole Foods.
The fake meat stuff.
And they go to that grain section. You ever walk down that aisle?
It looks like bird feed.
Right. you're supposed to, like, you put your tote bag underneath the grain silo and you press a button. Yeah.
Right.
And it fills up.
It's good for the skin.
I've got quinoa.
Quinoa.
And then you go to, and then the next aisle over is the bar of soap that's made out of lard that is like the size of a brick.
And weird looking things. Have you ever noticed quinoa looks like little condoms? They're like little miniature condoms.
You have a strange look to them.
I had not noticed that. No,
look it up. They look like mini condoms for like flies or something. I don't know.
That looks about right to me. So the soap section is the worst too. Because
it doesn't even smell good.
No, it's like black. And it comes. It's like pre-dirty soap.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy who's got like a gigantic like hair. Like he's got his hair all in a braid in the back, right?
Like a man bun sort of kind of thing.
But it's a full braid.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a dirty T-shirt, and he's looking at the soap, and you're like, "That's the worst advertising for the soap ever." Because that doesn't make me feel like I'm going to use the soap and it's going to be good. Look at you.
Yeah, that middle section of the store is soap and bird feed. It's like, what is half this stuff and what do I need it for?
And essential oils.
Essential oils.
Definitely
what are
some essential oils?
It's great for the hair and your fingernails.
Am I supposed to drink the essential oil or put it on something?
You put them in those like diffusers and spray vape into the air with the oil in it and you smell it. I don't know.
I'm telling you, all I want is Windex. I walk through the Whole Foods, and I want to call Jeff Bezos. Now that he's got single, he's got time on his hands. I want to call him, and I want to say, Jeff, could you just put Windex in? Please. One thing. And that's like my gateway to Fantastic is what it is. Because I'm like, if he puts Windex in, he's going to have to put Fantastic in. And then eventually you're going to get to the Clorox and the Lysol and all the rest of that. Because I want that. But instead, you go there, and they're giving you a canvas bag. And they're giving you some sort of like a cleaner that's made out of a lemon,
right? Yeah.
And you're like, this is not going to be. I don't want this is good for my martini. It is not good for my countertop.
I'm lost in those places. I'm lost.
And then you go to the meat section and you order the meat, and they look at you like, oh, murderer.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want this 16-ounce ribeye?
This is grass fed, but. You certainly should not be eating it.
I did get the steaks, by the way, from Whole Foods.
I was going to say, the steaks were delicious.
Yeah, they are delicious.
They do a solid butcher there.
Yeah.
I get meat from Whole Foods.
Yeah, the meat is great.
Yeah,
but you got to find the butcher who's not judging you. Because there's one guy back there. There's the one guy's like, hey, man, I'll get you hooked up. Don't worry about it. I'm in the union. All right, what do you need? Right? And then there's the other person back there saying, I can't believe that you would eat the meat. And then there's people walk by you in the line, right? And they do that under their breath.
Is that real meat, not the
villain?
Substitute meat?
You know, there's tofu in aisle 6.
Those steaks were dynamite last night.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'd like to thank Whole Foods. Get Windex! All right, what's coming up at the top of the hour, Kim? Kim?
Kim really has lost it.
I'm here. The Gator Watch continues, and the crowds continue to grow around the lagoon. It's a rough day, guys. Mm-hmm.
Coming up, Stories That Matter, with Kim Gordon, if she lives that long, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. I'm going to call Stuart, your husband, and apologize to him for whatever we did to you last night.
I haven't even seen him yet.
He was out with us a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
When we went. And again, you know, when I say that, I realize it reminds me of the fact that we are out all the time.
We really are.
We're out as a show now multiple times a week.
I've definitely upped my weeknight game since I joined this.
Yeah.
This crew.
I know.
College kids ain't got nothing on us.
Yeah, I know. Come on, kids.
Just come look at me and you'll be able to tell they've got it. They can still do it.
they should erect a statue of some sort to me. The nightlife statue of me, like out, just me in the Viagra Triangle, walking around with a martini in my hand and an ascot. Exactly what I said. All right, coming up, we've got the stories that matter, like I said, for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon in 2 little minutes.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. If you'd like to play News or Ruse, 312-981-7200. And today, we are playing for a $75 gift certificate to Green Tea Home Services, all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, carpet cleaning. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. And everybody gets a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. That sounds pretty good. 855-955-HVAC, 855-955-HVAC. All right. With us in the studio right now is Mike Shevlin, who is the president at the IAHC, the Irish American Heritage Festival. And it is confusing because there are too many. Well, quite honestly, let me just tell you something. We're really hungover today. So the IAHC,
Irish American Heritage Center.
Right. And that is up at 4626 North Knox in Chicago.
That's correct.
Right. And you've been here before.
Yes, I have.
And we have met before.
We have.
And but you have never seen this magic trick before, have you?
Which magic trick is
exactly
that?
Exactly right. and this is Irish Fest. It's coming up this weekend. The 12th, the 13th, and 14th. It's a ton of fun, right? There's nothing but stuff for kids, stuff for adults. There's Irish music. There's Guinness.
Lots of Guinness.
Yeah.
Lots of Guinness.
Now, you also brought something else here.
We are always bearing gifts, Ro.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know if I appreciate this.
Today might not be the day, yeah. Apparently.
Because I walked in. I had to, you know, I went I did during the news break. I had to leave and do very important business. And I come back in, and sitting on my little console here is a bottle of Jameson. And hold on. Let me make sure I get this right. Hold on. Very important. And a bottle of Five Farms, County Cork, Ireland. This is Irish cream liqueur.
Ooh.
And the proprietor of Five Farms is with us as well, Richard Hillsman. And what happens in here? It looks like a milk bottle, right?
It's supposed to.
Yeah. And but what happens when I open it?
Dangerous things.
I think. Now, do I have to refrigerate this after I open it?
After you open it, you do.
Yeah. And so this is cream and liqueur.
Yes.
And how long does it stay for?
Shelf life will be over a year once it's open and refrigerated.
Okay, so like a year.
Yes.
They get a year to drink this whole thing.
It never lasts that long.
See, Ro, this is actually perfect for you. Put a little of that in some coffee and perfect hangover cure.
It's true.
Oh, God.
Now you're onto something.
How do you prefer it? Do you pour it over ice? What do you do?
Yeah, I love it over ice.
Yeah.
The taste profile comes through more clearly. It's great with coffee, but then the coffee overwhelms the flavor of the Irish cream.
You but over that, ice, kind of like a dessert drink?
Exactly.
Ooh, yum.
Taste profile, Ro.
Oh, God. The best part of Irish Fest, would you say, Mike, is what?
It's the music. We have six continuous stages throughout the course of the weekend, and truly do have something for everybody. This year we have several bands, probably the most we've ever had, coming over directly from Ireland.
Ooh.
And it's not just traditional Irish music. We have, you know, rock and roll, and we have some bluegrass music. It's a little bit of everything, a little bit, you know, for any kind of taste.
So. Yeah, it's growing because it's, and you're cutting the streets off now up there, right? Because it's you get a pretty good.
We get a really good crowd, and you know, and it's also a family festival, and it's kind of an appointment festival for a lot of people. A lot of the Chicago Irish is on the north side,
mm-hmm.
So you know, people kind of plan their plan their summers around the dates of Irish Fest, and we have a lot of families that come out.
Are there Irish people in Chicago?
There's just a few. Just a few, yeah. And
do you ever find, by the way, 312-91-7200, if you want to play News or Ruse, we're going to play it in about a minute here when we get all done. And we also have the Irish music here. You ever find, Mike, that there are people who like to claim they're Irish who aren't, like, you know, people who, you know, maybe, you know, they sort of have the Irish look to themselves, but they might be from Eastern Europe, and yet they claim they're Irish.
This is especially, of course, on St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. but throughout the year, if you look at any sort of Irish event, the people wearing the most green are generally the least Irish.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Right? The people looking the most green are the most Irish. Yeah, that
might be true, too.
Yes, I think I found that, at least on the Southside Irish Parade, I know that to have been true. And do you, are you familiar with the term tavern tan?
I think I've heard it before, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can't be out in the sun much anyway,
no.
as you know, well, so you might as well go to the pub.
Right, there isn't much sun to be had, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's what sun there is to be had, it's like 3 days a year in Ireland, and the next thing you know, everybody's like, oh, God, what happened to my head? Oh man! All right, you got to go see this thing this weekend, and you can stop by. And if I want to get this, if I want to actually go and find the Five Farms, the single batch Irish cream liqueur, where am I going to find that?
Well, the places around town include Binney's, Asco, Foremost Liquors.
Oh yeah, Foremost. That's like that was my dad's
old school.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we're going over to Foremost. You buy things that, you know, in cans that were like, I don't know, they were with foreign writing on the can. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Don't worry about it. Don't ask. Where are you guys based?
We are based just outside of Kansas City in a little town called Weston, Missouri.
Wow.
Which was right on the Platte River and was a launching point for the settlers moving west. The company was originally founded in 1856.
Wow. I wonder if your great-grandfather, Liam,
enjoyed some on his way over.
I do remember being on the Platte River. There's a lot of sockeye salmon in the Platte River. Ever seen them with a doll's eyes?
Sophie's doll's eyes.
The whole thing that goes on. All right. Are we ready? Can we play? Yeah, we're going to play. Let's play. Let's move along here and play. I'm almost afraid. I swear to God, I'm afraid to even open this Irish cream thing. Because I know I'm going to drink it, and I shouldn't. I told myself, and my liver, you know how like now your car sent you an email, you know, like out of nowhere? My liver sent me an email this morning. I don't even know how it did it. And it was like, you got it, whatever you're doing, you got to step.
Just a taste.
Yeah. All right, hold on a second. We got all these people on the line here. All right, with Lorraine, you're going to play with Kim. Jim, you're playing with Lauren. And Mike, you're playing with Mike and Rich. Turns out you're all playing this thing. All right, here we go. Here is your first headline for News or Ruse. Lorraine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Here is your headline. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Driver charged for allegedly using case of beer as a child's booster seat.
Oh, I think
using
that's 100% news. A case of beer for a child's booster seat.
Okay. What do you think? I'm going to say
this. I
think
it's news. I personally think it's news.
I think so, too.
Oh, well, that was very good, Lorraine.
Nailed it.
There you go. All right, Lorraine, I got to send you a case of this Five Farms. You sound like the perfect person for this particular.
Yes, I'd love it.
I'm sure you would. I'll get you a bottle.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Jim and Lauren. Texas police guard ice cream aisle in market following viral ice cream licking video.
Oh, well, that is a thing. But I don't think they've actually stationed police. I have seen a picture, but I don't know if it's real. Jim, what do you think?
I would say it's news.
Okay, let's go news.
All right. Good move.
All right.
Good
nice.
Move on your part. Very, very well done. All right, Mike and Rich, here is your headline. Russian Orthodox Church considers a ban on blessing weapons of mass destruction.
All right, Mike and Rich, help me here.
Well... Rich?
Well, sounds like a ruse to me.
We've been doing a lot of news. I think maybe this one could be a ruse. What do you think, Mike?
I need an answer.
Ruse.
You're going to go with ruse? Oh. Nope. Apparently they are blessing thermonuclear weapons in Russia. That's good.
All right.
That's comforting.
Lorraine and Kim.
Yeah.
Florida strip club postpones charity bake sale over health concerns.
Both Florida. Lorraine, I have to go news.
I do, too. I think I heard something about that. Nose.
I love her.
So do I.
Absolutely. Adore Lorraine.
I did. I did hear something just like that.
But you didn't, actually. That did not happen. No.
No.
Oh, no, I know.
That was a ruse?
That was a ruse. Can you believe that?
Oh, boy. No, I don't.
Yeah, I know. All right, Jim and Lauren, here's your headline. 1 million moms protest Toy Story 4 over dangerous lesbian scene.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. It's good for ratings. 1 million moms protest Toy Story 4 over dangerous lesbian scene.
Dangerous. Again, something crazy that could be very true, but...
I say false.
Yeah, I'm feeling ruse, too. Okay, ruse.
Oh, happened.
Wow.
That's all right, crazy. Mike and Rich, you can crawl right back into this thing after a really bad start. Here we go.
Swiss Air Force disrupts yodeling festival with flyby in wrong town.
Sounds like news. It's good news.
All right.
Ditto.
There we go. All right. It's all tied up.
We've got a barn burner here.
All right, Kim, stand by. We're going to find out what's coming up on the news at the bottom of the hour. Everybody, hold on to your phones. Hold on to yourselves.
First a gator in the lagoon, and now another mystery developing on the north side.
News or Ruse continues, and the folks from the Irish American Festival, which is going to be holding and the American, this Irish American Heritage Festival, I should say. Did I say that? I don't even remember what I said. It's going to be this weekend up at the IAHC, which is the Irish American Heritage
Center, which is where Irish Fest is.
And that's at 4626 North Knox Avenue. And there's stages, there's music. We're going to play some of the music coming up in just a little bit. There's food, there's libation, there is Guinness. Do you do the... I know I asked you this before when you were here, Mike, but do you do the slow Guinness pour? You got them?
Of course we do. One of the finest pours in the city, we like to say.
What do you think the right pour is?
Well, just, you know, kind of a little bit of head on top with the shamrock on
the
top.
How long should that be?
I'm not a barkeep myself, but it should take at least 10 minutes.
Yes.
The proper pour.
You're going to have to sit and wait a little bit.
Patience.
Patience is a virtue when it comes to the Guinness.
Guinness was brilliant when they did that campaign here, you know, where there was, you know, the anticipation concept, you know, like that sort of riffing off of what Heinz did in the 80s. And this idea that you watch it and they do that, you know, the slow motion, but high speed film. And you're watching the bubbles come up through the Guinness. Yeah. It's like mother's milk to me.
As one who has partaken in a Guinness or two over the years, it's actually quite offensive when somebody just pours it and lets it and shoves it.
Wait, if you see that at the bar, they don't know what they're doing.
You're not a professional.
It ruins the whole experience.
You got to have the scraper.
The scraper. You got to be patient with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Guinness in the can, they kind of fixed the ball peen hammer, whatever the thing in the bottom of the can.
Yeah. A little bullet in there.
Yeah. It makes it shake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the best. I mean, I'm telling you, really have done a very nice job with it. I'm sorry. We've got to get back to news or Bruce, I'm being told. Enough about the alcohol. All right, here we go. Everybody is all tied up. And we got Lorraine playing with Kim. We got Tim playing with Lauren. And we got Mike playing with Mike and Rich. And we should also mention that Rich is the guy who just brought us Five Farms single batch Irish cream liqueur. And that's exactly what we need on a Wednesday afternoon.
Especially a hot day.
Yeah. Oh, it's not going to stop us. Let me just tell you that. Don't worry about it, Rich. We got you covered. Right. All right. Here we go. Back to News or Ruse. Here is your headline. This is Lorraine and Kim. It's the Orion Samuelson round. Here you go.
Pennsylvania school closes after man allegedly enters school, undresses, pours soap on the gym floor.
No. Well,
what do you think,
I don't
Lorraine?
Know, Kim. I think that's true.
I do, too. I think it's news.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, look at you, Lorraine. Look at you.
Lorraine.
I just want to say that Lorraine has been hitting the sherry since about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Pretty much
my guess. I had a vodka gimlet.
Yeah! Oh,
she belongs on this show.
Yes, she does. Right. She's probably at the party last night. We just don't remember. She's probably still there. All right.
Okay.
Jim and Lauren, here is your headline.
Dutch officials launch perfume that smells like MDMA.
What? I didn't know that had a smell.
I don't know what MDA MDMA is.
MDMA is a drug.
Ecstasy.
I would say ruse just because I don't think it has a scent.
I would say ruse, yes.
You tell me what that smells like, Ro.
I can't. Court order, not
then
allowed to.
Then it's definitely a ruse.
All right, to keep this thing going, Mike, and Rich, you got to get this right. Here you go. Let Orion read it.
Man discovered in trunk of Dodge Challenger about to be auctioned.
Oh, yeah. What do you think, guys?
That sounds like news.
I think so.
I'm with you. News.
Oh, it's all tied up. All right. Lorraine, we get to keep Lorraine on, which is really the best part of this whole thing. All right, Lorraine, here you go. Here we are in the lightning round. Here's your headline. 103-year-old Florida man might be the oldest American ever arrested on drug trafficking charges.
All right, we fell for the Florida thing once, but I think this could be news.
You think? I think it's news, too.
I do, too.
Oh, boy.
So close.
Oh, boy.
All right, Mike, and Rich.
8-year-old boy rescued after drifting out to sea on an inflatable unicorn.
Yes, that's true. Why didn't I get
it? Lorraine. Lorraine, don't help the other people.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thank you. Yes, I think that is true. Mike?
What do you think, guys?
True?
Yes, true.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right. And there's little range. Like,
another batch of gimlet.
They got the easy one.
Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, exactly right. I say pour yourself another. It's all right. It's all good. All right, thank you. All right, everybody hold on. They'll pick up the phones and figure the whole thing out. All right. We got Irish music coming your way. I think everybody should stand by for that, because it is the big Irish-American festival, Heritage Festival. It's coming up this weekend, and it is going to be up on the northwest side. It's just like a couple blocks off of the Kennedy at Montrose, right?
The Kennedy? Yeah, the exit is Lawrence.
That's what I meant.
And then also the Edens off of Wilson. It's right there.
Oh, so you're in between those two.
Exactly.
That's your sneak in case you miss the turn and you have to get to O'Hare.
There you go.
That's the way. Exactly. Everybody who's ever done that has gotten caught in the right lanes. Yeah. End up on the Edens. You're like, oh my God, I got to get out of the Kennedy. How am I going to do it? And that's exactly how you do it.
So it's also right off the blue line, right near Metro. So it's pretty quick.
All right. And you know, because there's a lot of libation there, that's a good idea.
Uber does serve the area as well.
So, oh, Uber,
yes,
for you guys.
Or Lyft.
Yes, Uber. It's O, apostrophe B-E-R. All right. Hold on one second. We're going to do the news, and then we're going to come back. We got the music, and we have the frivolity all coming your way on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. But first, Kim's News, brought to you by Gilkey Window Company.
Rainbow, and then laugh across the cloudy skies. Would you squander all your Nancy whiskeys and tell stories of your pair of brown eyes? All is lost.
You can tell an Irish song because the word whiskey is in the first verse. I love it. All right, we got the big Irish festival coming your way this weekend in Chicago. There's a lot of things to do. There are a lot of festivals throughout the summer in Chicago. This is a do-not-miss event because it's not only – it's true to the Irish heritage here, right? I mean, that's probably the most important part of it. But it is also it's a very, very good time. So we were just talking to Mike Shevlin, who's the proprietor of this this particular event. And you have how many different bands?
So there's about 35 different musical groups of some sort. We bring in several from out of town and from Ireland. We have five or six coming from Ireland, several from around the country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Chicago is one of the best Irish music towns in, frankly, the world, you know. Right. And so we have a wealth of Irish music here in the city, so a lot of that's made up of local musicians, and you have some of them here tonight.
Yes, we do. We have the Larkin and Moran brothers, who are in Studio G right now, and I have the list of the guys who are here. You got Dan Larkin, Mike Larkin, Joe Larkin, and Tim Larkin, and I see no Moran. And so what I'm thinking is that you guys had a fight on the way here, and the Morans didn't, and like as Irish fights go, They said they'll never speak to you again. You will never. They will never darken your door. You'll never be together again. And then in about 2 hours, you're going to get a call from them.
Yeah, we'll be hugging. Yep.
Yeah. That's about how that's going to go. All right. So you guys obviously are the best website ever. CelticRatPack.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got that nickname from a guy who, we had parties after all the festivals, and he says, "Oh yeah, that's right. You guys are the Celtic Rat Pack." So we kind of picked that out, and we've kept it. So,
oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right, what is your explain a little bit about Irish music, because I think that when people hear it, they need to get a little bit of an understanding, some perspective on what it is. So this obviously very string oriented, right?
Yes, but we have no strings here today; just guitars. The string guy's not here. That's God's on the Moran side.
That's a Moran, isn't it?
Yep, yep.
We're never going down there again. Never again.
And they're in the car right now.
You're taking all the money and all the glory, and you're not going to get it at all.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see exactly.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then in a couple hours, what time are we going to meet over at the Irish Fest?
Yeah.
okay, so... So explain a little bit of where these songs come from, though.
They come from Ireland, but, even the Irish, there's a lot of Irish songs that come from America that go over to Ireland and then come back again.
It's just a style.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Steve Earle's Galway Girl was recorded in Nashville, and it's one of the most popular songs in Ireland right now. So,
And am I right that you have to mention whiskey?
You do. I was hoping you have your Carnarvon wagon here.
It's around the corner. You should really take it away from me. They should actually put a padlock on it. All right. What do you want to play for us first?
So we're going to play a real old traditional song called Wild Colonial Boy. It's about a man who emigrated to Australia and caused all kinds of havoc. Traditional
Larkin
song.
Larkin and Moran Brothers, take it away.
Was a wild colonial boy, Jack Duggan was his name. He was born and raised in Ireland, in a place called Castlemaine. He was his father's only son, his mother's pride and joy. And dearly did his parents love the wild colonial boy. At the early age of 60 years, he left his native home and through Australia's sunny shore he was inclined to roam. He robbed the rich, he helped the poor, he shot James McAvoy. A tale to Australia was a wild colonial boy. One morning on the prairie, a shot he rode alone. A listening to a mockingbird, a singing a cheerful song. A state of bandit troopers fell. They all set out to capture him, the wild colonial boy. So run home now, Jack Duggan, for you see, for 3-1. So run, girl, in the Queen's Highway, you are a thundering son. Jack Duggan took his from his belt, he proudly waved them high. I'll fight, but not surrender, said the wild colonial boy. He fired a shot at Kelly, which brought him to the ground. And turning round to Davis, he will see his fatal wound. A bullet pierced his proud young heart, from the pistol of his right. And that was how they captured him, the wild colonial boy.
There you go. All right, it doesn't get better than that. Larkin and Moran Brothers, ooh, that's a song, that is an old song.
Yeah. Because
that's from the Quiet Man.
The Quiet Man, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's if you're a John Wayne fan. That's actually such a, that is, it is one of those movies that is like the kind of, it, you see John Wayne in a totally different perspective than you saw him in all the rest of his movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel like I need a whiskey or
feel better from last night.
maybe that's the tonic. Maybe that's what the Irish music is all about. All right, we're going to come back with more of the Larkin and Moran brothers, although they've done something to the Morans, and we're not quite sure what it is. But it's funny because it's Dan and Mikey and Joe and Tim, and that's the name of the Morans, too, I'm guessing.
So that, and Terry.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're always, oh, Tommy. No, Joe's not here. Tommy's here. All right, hold on. Don't anybody move. We're going to come right back to more music. It's Live Music Friday on a Wednesday, because we're going to have Live Music Friday on a Thursday and on a Friday this week as well, because we are making, it's a summer week in Chicago, and every day is a Friday. Back with live music. But first, Don Kleppen, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour? All right, let me say this, that if you're looking for a good time this weekend, you look no further than the Irish American Heritage Festival. It is the 12th, 13th, and 14th coming your way, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, up at the Irish American Heritage Center, which, I finally got it right, Mike. It only took me almost all the way through this.
Just makes perfect.
To get it right. Yeah, thank you, Mike. Mike Shevlin is the president, and he's the Irish Fest co-chair. Who's your other chair?
His name's Bob McNamara.
And he wasn't, because you were fighting with him, too?
No, we just let him in.
All right. You know,
he couldn't make it today. He's doing other fest responsibilities.
This is 4626 North Knox Avenue. So you take, if you want to take the Edens, you get, what do?
You get off at Wilson. And it's pretty much right there.
There?
Yeah, just a block east.
And then if you take the Kennedy, you're getting off at Lawrence.
You're getting off at Lawrence. And it's about, I don't know, a mile or so.
There you go. Right there. It'll get easier than this.
Easy peasy.
Right.
Drive by it all the time.
Let me just ask you a question before we get back to the live music, because you've got one of the acts that's going to be there is the Larkin and Moran Brothers. And the Larkins did away with the Morans at some point. So we're
classic feud.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened there, but we'll get, because all the guys in the band are named Larkin. I don't know. Sometimes it's an intermarriage thing. I don't know. Maybe there was.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want to. You know what? I don't want to know the stories. I don't want to know the stories, because then I'm going to get dragged in. I just have a question for Mike before we get back to this. How many kegs of Guinness are there going to be there?
Oh, my God.
Do you know the... Oh, what? He can't even count it.
Several dozen, at least, that we'll go through. I can't tell you.
You got the harp, too?
We got the harp. We have the Smithicks. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, we'll have other local beers.
How do you feel about the black and tan? Do you think that that's cheating?
You know, it's okay.
Yes.
It's all right. I like
I
mine.
Really enjoy
I
it.
I like
actually.
Mine straight, but yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's training wheels. Because the Guinness, you got to get used to.
You know, Guinness is a great summertime beer. You wouldn't think it, but it really is.
It is.
It's super light.
It's not as heavy as people think.
Right.
It's got the flavor, but it's light.
And the carbonation is low. So it feels like it's got a creamy thing, but it's actually kind of dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And it isn't too strong, so it won't knock you out fast. You can have like seven.
Something we could use around
last
here.
Last words right there.
Oh, I swear to God, officer. All right, Larkin and Moran Brothers, take it away.
Okay. Oh, the green and red of Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft in craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore. From its rolling coasty waters, I can see Kilpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday every summer, the pilgrims climb the reeks, where St. Patrick in his solitude looked down across Crew Bay, with the ringing of his bell, called the faithful there to pray, there to pray. To
Island, the home of Glamuel. It's waters harbor fishes from the herring to the whale. And now I must depart it, and reality is plain. May the time not pass so slowly, for I set sail again, set sail again. It's tall, majestic hills, where the ocean kisses island and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore. Stay forevermore.